The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Dana Davis about yoga. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week, some interesting information about sleep. If you're having trouble sleeping, maybe the cause isn't that nagging to-do list or that 5 p.m. cup of coffee, but rather some more unexpected sources, such as, get this, a fear of the dark or aging eyes. Fear of the dark. Well, it turns out that poor sleepers may have a fear of the dark without even knowing it. They could be tensing up and blinking when they're startled by noises, more so than perhaps sound sleepers. What to do? Well, if that too quiet room makes you more jumpy and more sensitive to stimuli, try turning on a white noise generator, such as a fan, or something rhythmic, perhaps a ticking clock that sounds familiar and soothing. And how about those aging eyes? Well, as we age, the lenses of our eyes become more yellow, allowing less blue light, which signals the brain to release melatonin that makes us sleepy to filter through and possibly making it harder for us to fall asleep. And the remedy for that? Try wearing a sleep mask at night and get about 15 minutes of direct sunlight within the first hour or so of wakening to help reset your clock. I can just see it now. Watch out for the neighbors if you've got your sleep mask on and you're taking a tiptoe out the front door at 6 a.m. or 7, depending upon when the sun comes up in your area. So there you are. Two fabulous tips on how to sleep better without medication. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Dana Davis is a certified yoga teacher and one who has studied restorative yoga with Judith
Lassiter.
Yeah, sorry, Bob, another edit. And has studied restorative yoga with Judith Lassiter. And she's also a certified balance method posture instructor. She is currently teaching in Berkeley and Petaluma, California. Welcome, Dana, to Your Holistic Health.
Thanks.
Well, I recently took a class in yoga and didn't realize I had so many muscles, tendons, fascia, etc. Until I came out of that class, but I must say it was invigorating on multiple levels, mind, body, and spirit. What got you started on your path to yoga?
Well, I started in college, and I think it was because my friends were taking a class, so I decided to sign up and take it with them. And it was actually Kundalini yoga, which I haven't really done since then. It involves a lot of breath work and intense exercises, and it was very exotic at the time. So after I graduated from college, I found a local yoga class, and I started pursuing that. And what was popular back then was Iyengar-style yoga. That was pretty much all that was available. And I loved the precision of it, the alignment. And I felt good physically, and I felt calm mentally. It seemed to leave me with a feeling of expansiveness.
Well, I understand there are many, many different forms of yoga, which is quite honestly almost mind-boggling when one is trying to select in the beginning. And I think that there may be some opportunity to clarify what is yoga versus maybe something like Tai Chi, the martial art, or Qigong, which is thought to be, if you will, somewhat of a precursor to Tai Chi. Is there a way to just very simply discern between, or rather among, these three?
Well, I have only done a tiny bit of Qigong. I have studied Tai Chi for a semester in graduate school, and Tai Chi tends to be more movement-oriented. It's in a way like a movement meditation. And there's a lot of health benefits also associated with Tai Chi. There is the martial aspect, which is rarely brought into it, except for advanced practitioners. Yoga is more stretching, and often it's done with holding poses for longer, like 30 seconds to several minutes. Tai Chi is pretty much constant movement, and both are good for improving balance and coordination. I think they're both popular because of the mind-body connection that they enhance, and it helps us to be more present and reduce stress. So they're both ancient, and I think they're different mind-body techniques that came from different cultures.
There's so much talk about flexibility and how flexibility more or less decreases and in some, unfortunately, almost dissolves as we get older. And I believe that yoga is probably one of the best disciplines to help counterbalance that issue. Would you agree?
I would say yes, with a caveat. So yes, if practicing yoga regularly, especially over many years, is definitely going to help with your flexibility. And also, this is why I teach posture as well. How we sit and stand and bend and move in our daily life can have a huge impact on our flexibility or lack of. And our modern posture is very misaligned in the United States, and that really contributes to our lack of flexibility. So I think both are important, paying attention to daily life, daily movements, and then a regular yoga practice. And I would say at least several times a week. And since there's so many different styles of yoga, people could actually do it up until, well, really the end of their life. There are yoga teachers still teaching who are in their 90s.
Well, now you've done it. I want you to know, Dana, that I just checked my posture because you said that, and nobody needs to know but you and me. So there you have it.
Yep.
What kind of barriers, realistically, are there to starting yoga? Because for most of us, it's taking that first step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it depends on the person. It depends on their personality. So I think some people are very competitive, and that can be a barrier in yoga, because if you get real competitive, you can hurt yourself because you see the person next to you and, oh, well, they're doing that pose. I should be able to do it too. And that's one way people can get hurt. And when they get hurt, then they say, well, yoga doesn't work, and they quit. So I always like to remind people that there are many, many types of yoga, and just because you went to one class that was maybe too aggressive or too intense, that's only one type of yoga. You know, a barrier to starting yoga is that people say they're not flexible. And, you know, teachers always laugh and say, well, that's the whole point. That's why you come to yoga, to get more flexible. So you don't need to be flexible already. And, you know, maybe some of the barriers are the covers of yoga magazines, because people see these beautiful, fit, thin women in pretzel poses. And I hear that from a lot of people. They say, well, I don't look like that. I'm not that young. I can't do that. And, you know, a lot of those are advanced poses, and I don't teach most of those poses in my classes. So I think, you know, the stereotypes about yoga can sometimes be a barrier. And if you're already doing yoga, then a barrier to getting benefits is being unwilling to practice regularly. So, you know, going to class once a month and never practicing at home, you know, you won't really get many benefits from that.
So that kind of leads me into, you get out of it what you put into it, and it sounds like you can advance at a pretty significant pace if you're regularly practicing, and or not if you're not. So this is accountability time, where not only taking that first step is important, but also more steps along the way.
Right, exactly.
How about the relaxation element of this, or the quieting of the mind? I must say it's amazing how simply entering an atmosphere which has been created, which I liken to an experience, which means most of the senses are invoked, can make a difference almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I've been to so many different types of yoga studios, and there's quite a variety of them. So it's true. Some of them you go in and there's maybe peaceful music, a nice smell in the air, it's very quiet. And then I've been in some that have a little bit more of a harsh kind of aesthetic feel. So it really varies. And the classes do tend to have different focuses as well. But it's true, if you go into a place that is supporting that quieting of the mind through calming scents and music and things like that, that can definitely make a difference and help with relaxation.
This probably underscores a good commentary on the importance of communication with your yoga master before you sign up for a class to get the best fit. And for safety reasons, communication with regard to any kind of condition or chronic illness, physical concern that you have, disclosed right up front so that your yoga instructor can help work around that, or make sure that whenever the class is at a certain point and perhaps you need some special attention, that that is granted. No doubt, right?
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's really important, because if you don't know that as a yoga teacher, if you don't know a condition someone has, you might encourage them to do a pose which maybe they really shouldn't do. So I always have my students fill out a questionnaire at their first class saying, you know, do you have any injuries or illnesses that I should be aware of? And because I advertise my classes as yoga for a healthy back, I tend to attract people with injuries. So most people, not everyone, but most students that come to my classes have a knee problem or a hip replacement, or they've had back surgery, or trying to avoid neck surgery, things like that. So it's really important for me to know that, because I might tell them to skip a pose completely, or else I'll give them an alternative pose that they can do. And also, I really encourage people not to push themselves past the point of pain. You know, sometimes some schools might say, well, you know, if you just keep pushing and you get through the pain to the other side, maybe that's the case in terms of muscles, you know, strengthening muscles are going to be a little sore. But in particular with the joints, you know, we're talking about your knee joint, your hip joint, anywhere in your spine, you don't want to continue to practice a pose where you're having pain in a joint. That can lead to danger.
All right. So we've set the stage with a lot of the body work that's involved with yoga. Let's move on up, if you will, to the emotional implications and perhaps even the spiritual implications of this practice. And I guess, tell me a little bit about research that you might be aware of in the area of emotional healing with yoga, or just maybe better coined, stress reduction capabilities with this discipline.
Yeah, well, there's been quite a bit of research done on yoga, and more, I would say, lately. You know, there's a book called Yoga as Medicine by Timothy McCall, which has chapters on different conditions, like I think he's got menopause in there. He has migraine headaches, carpal tunnel syndrome, things like that. And also on the more emotional components of benefits from yoga. And one that kind of combines both, there's a study on restorative yoga. So that's one of the types of yoga that I teach, which is probably the most gentle type of yoga that you could do. And they have shown that mind-body therapies are helpful for cancer patients with relieving anxiety, nausea, pain, and sleep disturbances. But this study, it was from 2008 and published in the Journal of the Society for Integrative Oncology. And they studied women who had ovarian or breast cancer. And they did 10 weekly restorative yoga classes. And that included postures, breathing, and deep relaxation. And so what they showed in the results of the study were significant improvements in depression, anxiety, mental health, overall quality of life, and also fatigue. And then there were qualitative comments, too, where the people in the study just gave their opinions about it, and they mentioned the benefit of the shared group experience. So that was one of the things that was really helpful for them. So there's quite a range of different things. There's another study in the International Journal of Yoga Therapy, which is a really interesting journal, and this is called Yoga as a Preventative Treatment for Depression. That was out of Australia, and it showed that beginners, so these are new yoga students that hadn't done it before, and they did a six-week class, and at the end, they had lower levels of depression, anxiety, and stress. And this is interesting, too. It said, as well as, quote, growth in their self-reported level of intrinsic spiritual experience, unquote. And it said this is their sense of spiritual connection and fullness. So I thought that was really interesting. I hadn't seen that mentioned before in a scientific study.
Well, what's great about that research is it's beginning to pull together long-term outcomes such as quality of life metrics. And I've said for years that's what's lacking in a lot of traditional research for any reason, not just the pharmaceutical arena, but non-traditional medicine might even have, pun intended, a yoga leg up on traditional
right.
medicine. And with that very humorous comment, I'm going to take us to break. If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum. Our guest tonight is Dana Davis, and the topic is yoga. We're going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and our guest this evening is Dana Davis. The topic is yoga. Well, Dana, before the break, you were sharing with us a couple of pieces of research, interesting positive results with yoga, mind-body-spirit results, including intrinsic spiritual experience. I want to explore that with you just a little bit further and get into the elements of the religious beginnings of yoga, being a Hindu religion that prompted this many, many, many decades ago, and how perhaps some individuals who aren't of that faith belief may not know what to do with that, or perhaps not start from the beginning the practice at all. I, for one, choose to look at our similarities, and I'm going to just go right ahead and quote scripture, and that happens to be James 3:18, where we're looking at how to increase peace. And I quote, "And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace," end quote. What are your thoughts on that commentary?
Well, yes, I think that's a huge question, and I could go on for a long time about that.
How about a short one? How about a short answer?
Yeah. I mean, so much violence in the world today is due to religious conflict, and I think peace is incredibly important today. And I particularly admire people who have crossed religious boundaries. So I don't know if you're familiar with Father Bede Griffiths, who went to India and had an ashram there. So he was blending Christianity and Hinduism, and of course Thomas Merton, who explored Buddhism, and people like that who were willing to be open to other religions and finding a peaceful harmony between them. I think that's really important. And in terms of yoga specifically, it's very interesting, and there's a lot of conflicting stories about the origin of yoga. It goes thousands of years back, but doesn't really talk much about the physical postures. So that apparently is late 1890s and into like the 1920s and 30s when that started to become popular in India, and it was also influenced by Western gymnastics. So a lot of what we see in yoga classes today is actually not based on ancient Indian traditions. So it's a little confusing sometimes for people. And there are so many different styles of yoga. Some really bring the religious component into it, and then others don't. And when I teach, I actually don't bring any kind of religion into it, because I have students who are Christian, Buddhist, Jewish, and it wouldn't be appropriate for me to put my religious beliefs onto any of them. But I think what we can all agree on is that we would all like to feel more comfortable in our bodies. We'd like to be more aware of our bodies. We'd like to find more of a sense of mental stillness and a sense of inner peace. And I know that yoga can provide that. And that's where I think it really can both cross the physical and emotional. I can bring benefits in both those areas.
It sounds to me like you, in your wisdom, are able to honor the spiritual space of your the members of your classes and allow them to have that time and that place for themselves, perhaps very personal space, and yet not conflict with the overall theme or goal of your class in terms of healing and peace, which is a universal tenet. So I really like the way you're coming about your practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just this, you know, you might have some styles of yoga, like I mentioned, that are very religious. Some are focused on, I've seen ads saying, you know, look better naked. So, you know, that's the focus of that yoga. So you really have the full range. I think when people think that yoga is all religious, that's definitely not the case.
And again, there are many different forms, and communication, once again, is the key. Make sure that you're seeking out and asking the right questions to get the best fit physically, right, emotionally, and spiritually for your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the great yogis, and why do you think they are so?
Well, one I can definitely say is BKS Iyengar. So most people in the yoga world have heard of him. He's still alive. He's 94 years old, and he wrote the book Light on Yoga, which inspired thousands and thousands of people in many countries. And he really brought precise alignment into yoga. And he emphasizes the importance of really focusing on the body, bringing your mind really to focus on different parts of the body. And that brings you into the present moment. And what I used to notice in those classes, when I would go to Iyengar yoga classes, I might be really upset about something, and I would go into the class, I'd be worried and upset, and then we'd do the class, and I'd be focused on, you know, where is my knee and where is my shoulder. And then I'd leave the class, and I'd think, okay, what was that thing that I was so worried about? And I couldn't even remember. I'd be completely gone, because I had brought my mind and body together, and the worries disappeared. And I think that's one of the benefits of the style of yoga that he offers. And it's influenced just so many yoga teachers, you know, to this day, and I'm sure beyond. And then one of his students, Noelle Perez Christians, she's a woman who is in Paris, and she discovered the postural alignments that I teach by traveling around the world and studying healthy people who don't have back pain and don't get all hunched over when they age. and she wrote a book called Sparks of Divinity about BKS Iyengar with some of his sayings. And she's actually in his book, Light on Yoga, but she doesn't advocate extreme yoga poses anymore. Instead, she talks about the yoga of daily life and paying attention to our posture in every moment. And again, bringing the mind to focus on the body so that we're in the present moment and so that we're aware of our bodies. And that's where you can make a change. If we don't have awareness of our bodies and we're not in touch with them, it's very hard to change. So I think Noelle has made a huge contribution, and the work that I teach is based on her work, and I've found it really helpful, both in teaching posture and in how I teach yoga as well.
Thank you so much for that. I will ask you to spell Iyengar, because we've thrown around a lot of big names, and it might be easier to do that so that people can Google this particular type of yoga and look up more information about it.
Yeah, Iyengar is spelled Iyengar. Iyengar. And his initials are BKS.
Very good. Well, Dana, we're in the final moments of our show, and I would like to ask, where can our listeners go for more information about your work, as well as about yoga in general?
Yeah, I have a website, which is sonomabodybalance.com. That's Sonoma, S-O-N-O-M-A, bodybalance.com. And I think people who are not local might be interested particularly in the blog, where there's articles on yoga and posture, and I have some videos on how to sit pain-free and how to stand pain-free. And then for yoga in general, one option is, I'll spell this for you, it's Yoga U Online. So it's YogaUOnline.com. So Yoga U Online. It's like a yoga university. And there are articles, there are some free downloads, and then courses that you can buy, teleclasses. And also yogajournal.com. There's lots of articles you can read. There's videos and things like that. And you can learn about the different styles of yoga there.
Wonderful. Well, your words tonight have been wise and most helpful and insightful for all of us, self-included. And now I'm going to be a better consumer and shopper of different types of yoga, and thoughts on the goals that hopefully I'm going to try to accomplish over time, and that our hopefully listeners will at least consider if it seems to be a good fit for them in a way that they had not considered before tonight. So thanks again, Dana.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed being here.
I'd like to wrap up our show with the quote of the week. And it is from John Kuyper's book entitled The Non-Judgmental Christian, Five Lessons That Will Revolutionize Your Relationships. And I quote, "One of the greatest joys of not judging others is becoming capable of discerning God's will in a difficult situation," end quote. Thanks so much again to Dana Davis, our wonderful guest for tonight's show. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. You are invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a free library of articles that I've written on health just for you. Please tune in again next week at this same time and hear Dr. Georgiana Donadio talk about her book entitled Changing Behavior, and the topic will be on emotions and emotional health. On the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.